Hey guys, thanks for checking out this episode. Today we're going to talk about 5 PA career misconceptions that either I believed when I was a paramedic or I've heard from other paramedics and EMTs, kind of just things that they think about the PA profession that aren't necessarily true. The first one is that a PA is just a doctor's assistant. Unfortunately, assistant is in the name, so this is something you're going to have to explain 1,000 times when you become a physician assistant, is no, I'm not a medical assistant, I'm not just here to assist a doctor, you know, I'm a fully functioning medical provider, but that is something that you have to be aware of if you're going to be a physician assistant, is a lot of people are going to confuse you for a medical assistant. You know, you will have to explain this to patients as well as people that just don't understand the career as much. It is very similar to being a paramedic. Paramedics have to work under a medical director. They have, you know, standard protocols or guidelines that they're allowed to operate under, but they can't operate individual of that, or they're going to be more liable if they start to go outside of those guidelines. A physician assistant's very similar. We have to have a supervising physician, and while they don't hand us guidelines or protocols that we have to follow, we still cannot operate individual of that supervising physician. We still have to have somebody that, you know, has signed on to kind of take that role for us. So one question that kind of comes up is, you know, do you have a lot of autonomy as a PA? And paramedics are seen as very autonomous. When you're out in the field, you're not calling and asking permission to do a lot of things, and being a PA is very similar. I'm not asking permission to do a lot of stuff. I still feel very autonomous, even though I'm still operating under a supervising physician. So if you think a paramedic's autonomous, a PA, you will also have a feeling of autonomy, even though knowing that you're, you know, working with a physician. Similar to being a paramedic, though, is especially when you're a new ER provider or a new PA, you have to understand your limits and when you're kind of in over your head. If a patient presents, you know, very benign initially or low acuity, you need to know, you know, if something comes back on that patient that now kind of upgrades their level of care. If a patient comes back with a weird imaging finding or lab work that you don't know how to interpret, you need to know when to involve a physician. You know, they've had a lot more training, they've had 4 years of medical school, they've had 3 or 4 years of ER residency. They'll be able to answer your questions a lot of times, because PA school's, you know, a couple of years, 2 to 3 years of education. A lot of times you don't get a residency. So you have to understand kind of the limits of your own abilities and your own experience level, and know when you need to bring an imaging finding or lab work finding to a physician to kind of help get guidance. And that's similar to being a paramedic. When you feel like you don't know the right answer in a question, you can call medical direction, or you should have somebody that you can turn to, even if it's another more experienced paramedic, to ask them a question to kind of get some guidance. So it's very, very similar in that regard as well. One thing I saw when I was a paramedic that kind of made me think that a PA was a doctor's assistant was I would be giving handoff report, and the doctor would do all the questions, they would start asking the patient questions, they would do the physical exam, and the advanced practice provider, the PA, would kind of stand there and wouldn't be super actively involved. And I've come to see on the other side of that, like, of the 20 plus patients we're seeing, you know, I probably go see a lot of those independent of the physician, and they go in separate from me. A lot of them we see as a team. But just because I'm not the one asking the questions doesn't mean I'm not actively involved. I'm probably going to do a lot of consulting on that patient. I'm going to talk to the specialists, you know, place their orders, potentially discharge them or get them admitted. So that's just a very tiny piece of the puzzle, is the initial history taking. So just because you see a PA, you know, not being the one to take the lead when you give report, doesn't mean they're not actively involved. It's probably that they're just allowing the physician to take the lead on that particular patient. And you'll see it both ways. You know, it could be the PA took the lead on the prior ambulance that came in, or saw the prior ambulance by themselves, and so they're happy to step aside and let the physician get the history on this particular patient. But that doesn't mean that they're, you know, not taking an active role in the patient's care, it's just they're not getting the history on that particular patient. The second big misconception that I see about PAs is that they are seen as just a paramedic in the hospital. That's something I kind of thought when I was a paramedic, although, you know, that changed as I kind of did shadowing and kind of, but it's definitely a misconception. A PA is much more than just a paramedic in the hospital. The amount of education that a PA goes through, you know, is a couple years of them basically teaching you everything you don't know, and that the world of medicine is much more broad than you think. 50 years ago or more, a primary family physician could do a lot of medical care. Now there's a specialist for every subspecialty in medicine, and knowing when to involve those specialists and how to articulate a medical problem to those specialists is a huge part of the job and a huge part of the learning curve that I had to climb over the last couple of years. And I've discussed this with other paramedics that have become PAs. It's that part of paramedic culture is to take the lead, even if you don't know, always have all the answers. Cardiology and a lot of pulmonology topics in PA school will be familiar to you as a paramedic, and you will have, you know, a leg up on a lot of your classmates, especially in cardiology and EKG interpretation. But there's so much more to learn in topics like GI and renal. And, you know, even now with a couple years of experience and having gotten through school, there's still so much to learn on those topics that I learn more every single day. And a lot of becoming a PA from a paramedic is understanding all that you have to learn and knowing when to reach out for help and when to consult specialists to get further help and guidance in treating a patient. You know, sometimes I don't know if a patient's okay to go home and I need to talk to a specialist to see if they're okay with the patient following up in their clinic, or if they're more concerned about something and they want the patient to stay in the hospital so they can see them more urgently. Adding to that, the ability to prescribe medications, especially medications that you're not intimately familiar. On the ambulance, I was super familiar with every single medication that I would give. I mean, paramedic school hammers all of them into you. You know the mechanisms of actions of every single medication. You know what they interact with. You know exactly what they do. Going to being a PA where you're prescribing medications that you're not intimately familiar with, and so you have to kind of learn about these medications on the fly, learn how to prescribe them, learn how to properly dose them, and, you know, that's another topic that really just kind of begins to make you realize that being a PA is very different from being a paramedic and really does require a lot of knowledge that you have to gain, and makes it very different from just being a paramedic in the ER. Another big misconception that I see is that PAs only see the low acuity patients, and that's not the case in most systems. Now, some places you might work, you know, PAs are going to see a lot of the low acuity patients, but only seeing the low acuity patients is certainly a misconception. One thing I like about the system I work in is that we see a lot of patients in collaboration with the physicians as a team. And so, you know, I'm taking care of critical patients, lower acuity patients, and everything in between, which is something that's really fun about the job. Especially when you're new, it's great to be able to see higher acuity patients in combination with a physician that can help you when you're not sure what to do. Especially when you gain more experience and the physicians start to trust you more, you will be doing all the high acuity stuff that attracted you to paramedicine in the first place. And things like central lines, lumbar punctures, intubations, chest tubes, you'll be doing all the fun high acuity procedures that you enjoyed doing as a paramedic. As a PA, especially as you gain more experience, you will be seeing those high acuity patients that really need emergent interventions. That's not to say that we don't see the low acuity patients. We certainly do. I'll go in and see a patient that's very low acuity and discharge them to save the physician some time and keep the department moving, and they'll pay me back the same favor. If they go into a room before I do, see a low acuity patient, they can discharge that patient and I don't have to go spend my time seeing them. And so it's a very much team mentality. The ER, especially a busy ER, is about efficiency. And so if I can save some physician time by seeing and discharging a low acuity patient, I will. And they'll do the same for me. If they get into a room, they'll discharge a low acuity patient too. It's not expected in a lot of places that you just go see all the low acuity. Certainly there's, you know, different care units in different hospitals where they put lower acuity patients. And a lot of times those are run by advanced practice providers, be it PA or nurse practitioners. But that's only one shift a lot of times. You know, if you have different departments and different shifts, you're going to get a good variety of patients. And I think a lot of people will use that as an excuse not to go to PA school, as, I don't want to go and see a bunch of low acuity patients. You know, I still want to see critical patients. But don't use that as an excuse, because of course nobody wants to spend 2 years of your life and a bunch of money to only see low acuity patients. You know, that wouldn't be motivating at all. But don't use that as an excuse, because you will be able to see a large variety of patients depending on where you work. The fourth big misconception that I see is that I don't have a lot to learn if I went to PA school. And I touched on this before, but PA school really is 2 to 3 years of them teaching you everything you don't know. And it's very humbling to kind of broaden your view of medicine in general. You know, emergency medicine's its own kind of little thing, but there's lots of other different types of medicine to practice, and you get a brief glimpse of all of that in PA school. And, you know, learning how to longer-term manage patients is a skill all of its own as well. And that might be something that actually attracts you to a different type of medicine instead of emergency medicine. A lot of paramedics go to PA school and find that maybe emergency medicine isn't that attractive to them, and they go into a different specialty. And that just means that there's a whole new world that you have to learn. One example I can give of that is really just abdominal anatomy. You know, I think my physical exam, especially when it came to the abdomen as a paramedic, was pretty poor, and maybe I just wasn't a very good paramedic when it came to abdomen exams. But, you know, where you push and where the pain is very pertinent to what tests you want to order. So a good exam is super important, and knowing what you're looking for, be it pancreatitis, cholecystitis, appendicitis, all these things, you know, really matter where the patient's tender. And, you know, that's all that anatomy and what tests you want to order is something I had to learn in PA school that I really had no idea when I was a paramedic. And a lot of that's just because it doesn't matter to you as a paramedic. You know, you care if they're having abdominal pain, you care if that's their chief complaint, but you're not thinking about the further tests that you need to order, imaging-wise or lab work-wise. The fifth and final misconception I hear about the PA career field is that it is a step you want to take when you're done with all the excitement and kind of want to retire. It's paramedic retirement, which is really not the case. And if you watch the episode where I talked to Brian Sanfilippo, who's in PA school, we go into a lot of depth about how hard it is to get into PA school, just the competitiveness, and how bad you really need to want it. So it's not something you want to consider later in life, because it's not something that's easy. It's a huge sacrifice, both financially and time-wise. It's not something you want to consider just when you're done being a paramedic. It's something you have to actively pursue and sacrifice to get there. My personal journey to get to PA school started in, I think, 2011 when I was in paramedic school. I went to an information session for PA school and decided that was for me, and I slowly worked on getting all those classes done over the course of several years, about 6 years of getting prerequisites done, getting my bachelor's degree, before I actually got accepted in 2017. So it was something I had to actively pursue. It wasn't an afterthought. You know, I sacrificed a lot of free time and a lot of money to get that education under my belt so that I could be a strong applicant. And even working in the ER as a PA with a paramedic background, the learning curve is still extremely steep. And it's not something you want to do later in life, because the learning curve is something that has to be grasped quickly. You have to be a very quick learner. And the older you get, your ability to learn things quickly starts to deteriorate. So it's not something I would want you to do when you're considering yourself closer to retirement, because it's a huge endeavor to understand this new level of education and understand this new level of emergency medicine. So my encouragement to you is, if you want to be a PA or you have that inkling, start now. Start now looking at prerequisites, figure out what you need to do, if you need to improve your GPA, if you need to get volunteer hours, whatever you need to do to be a strong applicant, I would start now, because it's a very long and arduous process and not something to put off. Just because it does take so long. So if you want to be a PA and you think that's the next step for you, I would encourage you to start those steps now and not wait. Not wait until you're tired of being a paramedic. I still had a very long career as a paramedic. I was actively practicing for, I think, between 8 and 10 years as a paramedic, and most of that time I was working on prerequisites for PA school. So you can still have a very long career as a paramedic while simultaneously working on getting into PA school. All right, guys, I hope that this episode was valuable for you. I hope that some of these misconceptions were a little bit set right, and hopefully gives you a little bit better perspective of what the PA career field looks like. Check out some of the other episodes I have, and it'll hopefully help you determine if the PA career path is for you or not. If you did find this episode valuable, please subscribe, like, share it, comment. Let me know if there's things that I could be doing better or things that you like. The more you guys can do that stuff, the more I can take these episodes and produce content that is actually valuable for you and understand where you guys are coming from. And just remember that there's very few professions where you can actually save somebody's life. And just know that while that opportunity doesn't happen every day, there's always an opportunity coming. So go out there and be the best provider that you can be, and be ready to take those opportunities.